The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
What is up, y'all? Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. As you can tell, I am not Paul Feinbaum. I am Peter Burns, but the number is always going to be the same. 855-242-PAUL. You can hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. You can yell at Paul, even though he won't be here. He won't be checking his Twitter account today, at Feinbaum. You can have some fun with us because draft night one was wild. It was crazy. And let's get into those headlines. Bryce Young sharing a heartfelt moment with Coach Saban and, of course, his parents on draft night. So you take a look. It's a good little feel. Number one pick of the draft. Truthfully, I kind of wish they took C.J. Stroud. You know why? Because now I got to care about the Carolina Panthers. Our studios are here, and now I'm vested. My man looked excited. There's a great video of how Coach Saban, his parents, talked about what it meant to see Bryce Young going one, and pretty impressive. Two Bama guys went off the board. Houston Texans, after taking C.J. Stroud, went right back. They traded up to get 31. Terminator Will Anderson. Love that move for D'Amico Ryans as he starts his tenure as the head coach. And how about number four? Anthony Richardson. That's right. The man started 13 games in his, I guess, up and down, roller coaster ride of a career for the Florida Gators. And didn't matter if he completed 54% of his passes, 100% of the checks he's going to cut now are going to cash easily. So he made some $30 million. Not bad for only 13 games starting. So overall, there's the question, right? NFL draft, did it offer a little proof that the SEC is the best quarterback league in America? Well, sit there go C.J. Stroud, but who else? Hendon Hooker still available. You got Will Levis that's incredibly still on the board. And overall, when you start looking at where the conference was at, I got to be honest with you, I'm a little disappointed. We tied the Big Ten. Aren't we better than that?
Yes.
Joking a little bit to a certain point. But it is the eighth straight year with the most or tied for the most first-round picks. Now, four big-time players are still left in that green room. Of course, we saw Will Levis, who was on television for about 7 hours yesterday in the green room, and his family, Keon White, Joey Porter Jr., and Brian Branch. Still some of the names that are going to be out there, and I assume that they will be called early as day two of the draft starts a little bit later tonight. So I saw this great article earlier today when Brams and Joey were saying, who do you want to talk to? Seth Emerson always does great work at The Athletic. And he has this headline, grudges, politics, and gentlemen's agreements, the chaotic history of SEC scheduling. And some just baffling stories about why some teams didn't play each other for the longest time as we get closer and closer to figuring out what is it going to be, an 8-game season or is it going to be a 9-game conference season? We'll talk to him about that a little bit later. Tony Petitti is the brand new Big Ten commissioner, and according to Robert J. Jones, the Illinois chancellor, he says it's unequivocally that the Big Ten is the nation's premier athletic conference. There is no sarcasm font in Nicole Auerbach's tweet, and that the commissioner job is the most important, most visible, and most sought-after leadership role in all of intercollegiate athletics. That's cute. I appreciate that. We'll dive into that a little bit. And, of course, this is the last opportunity you have if your transfer portal window is closing. You don't like where you're at? You can go into a different team, a different division, whatever you want to do. There are no rules, kinda, except the fact that it closes after this weekend. For Coach Nick Saban, the Alabama Crimson Tide have a brand new quarterback to add to that room. Here's what he had to say about it.
Both those guys leaving big shoes to fill for sure, particularly Bryce. And the news came today that you got a quarterback out of the transfer portal and Tyler Buckner from Notre Dame. What went into that decision and what do you think his opportunity is?
Well, we wanted to give our quarterbacks in our program every opportunity to win the job in, you know, the spring practice. And, you know, we felt like we needed to add some competition in the room. And Yeah, you know, Tyler was certainly a guy that, you know, was going to be the starter last year at Notre Dame, got injured, played in the bowl game, played very well. So we thought he would add a lot of competition, and we think he's got the right kind of character and attitude to be a positive influence on our team.
I don't know what I love more, that quote from Coach Saban yesterday or that pink jacket that he had on. Real men wear pink. I think that's the case. Matt Zenitz might be wearing pink right now. On three, he is locked into this story. And, Matt, when you first saw the news, there were some rumblings that they might add another quarterback after the spring game. What did you make that it was Tyler Buchner?
Yeah, that it makes a lot of sense. So I don't think it was a secret that Alabama had interest in bringing in or exploring adding a transfer quarterback if the right caliber of quarterback and transfer presented itself. And obviously with Tyler Buchner, you have the fit with Alabama's new offense coordinator, Tommy Rees, who obviously recruited Tyler to Notre Dame and then coached him the last two seasons. So immediately when he went to the portal, that this was something that was an obvious fit for him, and took visit to Alabama going back to Wednesday. The original plan had been to look into potentially taking at least one additional visit, specifically to Auburn, throughout the course of the day Wednesday. It became progressively more clear that things were continuing to trend towards Alabama, to the point that Wednesday night word started to circulate that the visit that was expected to take to Auburn yesterday was not going to happen. And by lunchtime yesterday, Alabama had new quarterback.
Matt, there's a bunch of different ways that you can look at this. Maybe they don't have any quarterbacks on this roster and they're trying to find a starter, or the fact that they feel pretty good, but why not add a little bit of depth with Tommy Rees? Which side do you land on?
I think Tyler Buchner is going there expecting to ultimately win the starting quarterback job. And Alabama clearly was concerned enough with the current group of quarterbacks that they had that they were obviously interested in bringing in somebody that they viewed as being capable of potentially or likely winning that job. And the thing that I'll say with Tyler Buchner, I know that the numbers were what they were at Notre Dame, and I obviously not pretty when you look at stat line that consists of three touchdown passes and five interceptions last year in the three games that he played in. But for whatever it's worth, even after they brought in Sam Hartman during the winter, it was more, from everything that I've heard, more of a competition and closer this spring at Notre Dame than probably most people would assume. And whether it was additional motivation that was provided by the addition of Sam Hartman or whatever the deal was, it seems like legitimately that Tyler Buchner had stepped up his game throughout the course of the spring, was having a hell of a spring, as one source put it, and that those two quarterbacks with the combination of him and Hartman were neck and neck heading into the spring game, when there just became clear separation with Hartman going 16 of 19 and accounting for a few touchdowns, no interceptions, and Tyler Buchner going out and struggling the way that he did, where he finished 8 of 18 for 45 yards with no touchdowns and a pick. Up until that point, for whatever it's worth, had been doing very well, and I think the belief at Alabama is that getting a quarterback that more talented and more capable than maybe people would assume based on what the numbers were last year at Notre Dame.
Matt, yourself and especially the guys over at On3 have been just absolutely just crushing it when it comes to transfer portal and what's happening right now. Who's made the biggest jump here in the SEC as we start looking forward to, you know, spring meetings and really media days coming up in a couple of months?
It's not SEC. The team that honestly continues to make big-time moves is USC through this portion of the portal cycle. So arguably the two best players that have gone into the portal since the spring window opened on the 15th have been Bear Alexander from Georgia and then Emmanuel Pregnon, the guard from Wyoming. And USC ends up landing both of those guys. So you get the top defensive player, arguably, that's gone into the portal, and then an offensive lineman from Wyoming that, yes, I know it's Wyoming, but a kid that personnel staffers, coaches around the country, the more that they watch him, the more that the consistent takeaway was this is a future NFL-type guy who has a big-time skill set. So I know it doesn't give you the hints that maybe we're looking for in terms of an SEC team, but USC with that latest addition with Pregnon this week has gone from already being in a very strong position heading into next year to improving their positioning with those two big additions.
No, Matt, I'm glad you said that because, again, it's the idea of, hey, would you rather be, you know, down on the bench on somebody, although even Bear Alexander was probably going to be a starter for Georgia, the fact that rarely do you see guys getting plucked from starting positions or even any positions here in the SEC and moving over to the Pac-12. Is that a changing of the guard? Is it name, image, and likeness? What do you make of it?
Kind of combination of those different things. So NIL naturally when it comes to transfer portal and college football free agency at this point is going to play a role. But Georgia, even with the pieces that they've lost, it's still so deep in front seven and along the defensive line that it wasn't just a foregone conclusion that Bear Alexander was going to be a full-time player for them this year. Whereas at USC, I think there's maybe more of an opportunity and they're definitely expecting him to be an impact guy. But as is the case with a lot of players that have gone into the transfer portal going back to the winter, that there are different factors that obviously go into this with NIL and playing time and different things along those lines being different factors for different guys.
Matt, last question for you. When you watched day one and night one of the NFL draft, what was the biggest surprise? You're like, how the hell did that happen?
I wasn't expecting Jahmyr Gibbs to go as early as what he did, but Jahmyr is, as you know, Peter, I obviously that's a talented running back who can do so many different things and a multidimensional type game breaker who has rare speed for that running back position to go along with the capability to do different things, including split out and do some things as a receiver, even in the passing game that most guys at the running back position are not capable of doing. So that caught me by surprise. I don't know if you were surprised by that, but I was not expecting him to go in the top 12, which is where he ultimately went.
Yeah, well put. Matt, as always, we appreciate the time and great work over there on 3, man. You're crushing it, all right?
I appreciate it, man. Always there good to be on with you, Peter.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Zenitz does, again, fantastic job there. All right, so a couple things. One, it didn't surprise me necessarily when we're talking about Jahmyr Gibbs, just like Matt talked about, is that you're looking for some different type of mismatch. In the last couple of years, it's been tight end. There's not a lot of tight ends in this year's draft. We see that. Darnell Washington's still on the board. But Jahmyr Gibbs, you can split them out and you can find a way to mismatch. So to see him and Bijan Robinson go as well in that first round within the top 15 picks, I loved. Thoughts on Tyler Buchner here. I love this move for Alabama. And I know that there's going to be some people that say, well, wait a minute, let's discuss this. You're going to get the backup quarterback at Notre Dame and the spring game wasn't good. But pump the brakes just for a little bit. Why would you not want to add competition to your team? Okay, you know, competition breeds greatness. I'm a firm believer in that. Also, I think we've gotten spoiled on which Alabama has been this kind of aerial flow offense over the last couple of years. I mean, once we saw Joe Burrow do what they did in 2019, then all of a sudden you saw these high aerial attacks and all of a sudden throwing it for 400 yards. We kind of got a little punch drunk on that. So if all of a sudden you mean that Alabama is probably going to go to more of a little bit of a run first, run the dang ball type strategy, can that work? Hell yeah, it can. Look at what Georgia just did. Kirby learned it from Alabama. It's like that old 80s thing. I learned it from watching you. That's exactly what Kirby Smart did, taking Nick Saban's style of winning championships. So it can still win, and I like the pickup. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. That's 855-242-7285. More of your phone calls and your tweets coming up next here. Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum
Show. You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns in. Chris Vanini had this tweet. I feel bad for Will Levis because his entire, quote, slide is a result of the NFL draft machine. Nobody watched him regularly in college football, thought he would go near the top of the draft. And so Ryan Leaf had said this earlier today. He said he explains why Will Levis won the first round by going undrafted. Who better to talk to about that than one of our guests a little bit later in the show? Mr. Ryan Leaf. He's going to give us a little rundown of this. And this just crossed my timeline. I had to make sure that this was the blue check mark, Jim Irsay. Colts, would you take Will Levis at number 2 if you're on the board for the Colts in 4 hours from now and go Montana Young for the franchise? I mean, remember, the Dallas Cowboys selected Troy Aikman, and then they had the supplemental draft and then took Steve Walsh out of Miami. So it's not unheard of. Jim Irsay's a little bit of a different cat. I mean, who knows? That would be weird. All right. We talked about our guests. We had Matt Zenitz on to kick off the show. Seth Emerson, really fantastic article in The Athletic. Do your homework right now. Go over there. And read it about just the history of SEC football scheduling. Seth did a great job of putting together some stories. He'll join us in about 40 minutes. Ryan Leaf, who said, hey, he actually won. Will Levis' slide is actually great for him. I agree and disagree to a certain extent. He'll join us at 5:30 Eastern. And then Heather Dinich is out in Dallas, where I'm sure she has an apartment as much time as she sends up there talking college football playoff. They are up there meeting, discussing kind of the final details of an expanded playoff and more. She'll join us to kick off the last hour. You know, it's interesting, and I think Chris Vanini said it, and I had talked about it earlier just on my show, is the fact of when you start looking at, you know, the Will Levis storyline. And I think it's a perfect example right now of how we live in this kind of world of sports media and even kind of just news takes where everybody has to have this, you know, opinion. Because the rational take, if you watch Will Levis play all season long, and you did if you watched this show, you knew that he had struggled a little bit. The new offensive coordinator wasn't working out. In fact, now Liam Cohen's back over in Lexington. Also on the fact that you know, he was a little bit banged up, didn't have the same wide receivers, and ultimately, that offensive line kind of let him down. So it wasn't the year that Will Levis wanted to have. I think all of us here on this show, all of us on the network thought he's a good quarterback. He's shown he's got the tools. But then all of a sudden, the draft machine takes over. What I mean by the draft machine now is you're going to have a lot of analysts that if they come out here and they say, just what I said, Will Levis, pretty good quarterback, maybe late first round, early second round, it's noise. Right? When you got 5,000 different analysts talking about it. But all of a sudden, how do you cut through? Right? That's what happens in our industry. They're always asking who cuts through. Well, you know what cuts through? People saying Will Levis might go number 1. Will Levis might go number 2. Oh, he's a top 5 guy. The Colts love him. Okay? So people are talking about Will Levis being a slide. I don't think he slid. I think that this is where he was supposed to go the entire time. It's just everybody kind of caught up in groupthink of like, well, if this person likes him, then that, okay, there must be something to it. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, you go back and look. Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, they both had him at number 4. Pete Prisco at CBS, they had him at number 2. The Colts insiders, they had him coming in at number 4. NFL.com projected him at number 4. So is that a Will Levis issue, or is that the media's issue for them not being the proper talent scouts? I don't think it's Will Levis's fault. The tape is the tape. I think it was the media's fault that led to this quote-unquote slide. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Oh, friendly face right off the bat. Jim in Tuscaloosa, what's up, my man?
Pretty bones. I'm not sure you're going to hear that again today, Peter, because your buddy F-Bam pissed off my man I-Man yesterday. So I'm not sure he's going to come back, but we'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. I wait patiently. I wait patiently. How you been?
Yeah, I knew you'd be looking forward to hearing Peter Burns. That might be the only one time you'll hear it today. I'm not sure, but I tell you what, our man is a man, and when he gets pissed, he might let you know by punishing you and not calling. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the F-bomb. The F-bomb made him mad yesterday. And deservedly so, I'm telling you.
What'd you make of the draft? Did you watch last night?
Yeah, I did. I don't talk ball, but I mean, you know, it went about where I thought it would go. The best guy got taken first. Now, I'm going to be interested to see how well he can do in the big time, because as good as he is, you know, Peter, I'm 6'3". Some fool tried to call yesterday, said I wasn't. I was a midget. I'm 6'3", played to quarterback, played pretty good, Peter. I'm not going to brag anymore about it, but I'm 6'3 and a half, 200 pounds, still same thing, same weight, same height. I didn't shrink. And some fool, you know, they don't like me. A lot of them do. And so a guy named Dustin called yesterday and said, oh, you know, Paul, you've heard Jim's a little guy. Well, if he wants to bet me money, I'll show him I'm 6'3", 200. But anyway, the thing I'm trying to get at is I'm not sure that's not going to hurt. It's got to hurt Bryce a little bit because, you got some big linemen up there, vicious big linemen, and that's going to be tough to overcome at times. I know that. You do too.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, Kyler Murray's a different guy simply for the fact of he was.
Well, he moved so fast around.
He was so fast, right. I mean, he reminded me of Trenton Holiday, a little taller Trenton Holiday that could throw the ball. Remember number 8 for LSU back in the day. But, I mean, the thing is that I loved about Bryce, Jim, is the fact that every time I watched him, no matter what happened, the kid had a smile on his face. Even when they were down, you know, like Texas is coming after him, you know, cover zero, they're blitzing him, and he gets absolutely pummeled. Well, he got up and he smiled and he was a leader.
I played with some great guys. I did some pretty good ball playing myself. I've never seen anybody perform miracles, almost like he did when it looked like there was no way out. And he comes back with something that makes something happen. He's a make something guy happen, and that's why they wanted him. I believe that.
So I went 1-1. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Thank you.
See ya. Jim from Tuscaloosa. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Let's get one more in here before a quick break. Lee in Cincinnati. Talk to me, Lee.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I'm a big Florida Gator fan, but I think I'm a Colts fan also. But I think the Colts made a mistake taking Anthony Richardson at 4. And I'll say this because they need somebody who could come in right now to play for him. And Richardson, he didn't do that great in college. He might have all the intangibles you could think of, but don't you have to be a winner first somewhere to be considered a winner at the next highest level? And he just didn't seem that he doesn't seem to have that ability to be. Great physical gifts, but I don't think that he's going to be able to take and do it at the NFL level. And I sure as heck hope the Colts take either Hendon Hooker or Will Levis second pick of the second round because of it.
Lee, the big winner for the whole Anthony Richardson Colts deal was Anthony Richardson, right? I mean, the young man got $35 million based on potential, not the actual play, based on what the draft potential looks like, based on his combine, based on his pro day, based on his interviews. He won. So no matter what happens, he's got $35 million in the bank. The question is do the Colts sit there and go, we need you to play now? Or is it Gardner Minshew? Or is it Nick Foles? Or whoever it's going to be? Because I'm a firm believer, you cannot throw Anthony Richardson out there. He's not ready. He wasn't ready to play SEC football, much less in the NFL. But he's also 20 or 21 years old. So you've got the rights to him for 3 to 4 years to develop and sit behind somebody. I just don't know if they're willing to wait and watch him develop when he's the fourth pick of the draft.
Well, they don't have a choice, though, because if they try to throw him out there, you're talking about right now, in my opinion, he'd be the second coming of DeMarcus Russell if they tried to throw him out there as far as how bad he bombed. Okay? But he might have the ability, but he's going to have to develop way past the point where he is now, and that's my point. I don't know if that was worth a number 4 pick or not, because they are going to have to wait at least 3 years before he's ready to try to do anything in the NFL.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen him, honestly, in a weird way, I would love to see him either return to Florida or for no other reason, and this sounds really crazy and stupid, transfer somewhere else and get a bunch of underneath his belt. But guess what? If somebody's going to pay you $35 million for on-the-job training, that's a hell of an internship, and we should all be so lucky to have, quote-unquote, a red shirt year or two, right?
Yeah, how great would the world be if we could all do that? You're absolutely right, Peter.
Lee, thank you for the phone call, sir.
Thank you. All right.
We'll get another phone call in here. Elliot is in Ohio. What's up, Elliot?
Peter Burns, always awesome to talk to you. Hey, I just wanted to shout out T.J. Stroud, number two. Yesterday on the show, they were talking about how he wasn't going to go number two. It was going to be a Bama player. And I wanted to get your opinion on the FPI ranking of OSU. They're down but not out, brother. FPI, baby.
The FPI, so thank you, Elliot. A couple things to address there. The Football Power Index is what he's talking about, the FPI. I have no idea how they come up with this number, other than the fact that there's some type of formula. It's probably the same formula that said there's like only a 0.001% chance of Will Levis not being drafted at this point. I don't know who comes up with these numbers. And I don't know anything about Ohio State coming into next year. But what I will say is I love the Houston Texans draft. I learned a lot about C.J. Stroud. I thought that Georgia was going to put him in a box in that semifinal, and he played like an absolute madman. He deserved that money. And for D'Amico Ryans to say, you know what, not only do we want C.J. Stroud, but let's go ahead and mortgage the near future for Will Anderson, I love. People are saying, oh, it didn't make sense with the trade differentials and these draft boards about how many points you give up. Who the hell cares? Like, are you going to get a player as good as Will Anderson next year? And why should D'Amico Ryans care, right? If you're leveraging 4 years down the road, well, guess what? If you don't figure it out in year one or year two, you're never going to make it 4 years down the road. Love the draft for the Houston Texans. Love to see Alabama and the SEC getting two of those first three picks. 855-242-PAUL. 242-PAUL is the number. I see Logan, Wes, Rick, William, and all on hold. We'll get your phone calls and more of your tweets coming up next. Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN, or you can follow SEC Mike at Michael W. Bratton. He had this tweet last night. Nick Saban lost two games to the number one and number three overall picks on his roster. Not even debatable that Kirby Smart has passed his mentor. Well, it's a take. It's definitely one. Again, I had said that the new gold standard of college football is Georgia football. And that's how can you not look at it? What's happening right now, it's not only with the back-to-back national championships. And if you look at Georgia's schedule, I mean, it's like playing for the Red Tees this year. They should have a pretty good, successful season. I would be shocked if they're not undefeated once again going into Atlanta. But the difference is the reason why Saban is the GOAT and still is the greatest of all time is because not only did he win championships, but he developed players and got them drafted. He got guys paid, right? I mean, the first two of the first three picks, it was all about Alabama. We'll see Brian Branch go. We already saw Jahmyr Gibbs add to that. I mean, almost made, three players somewhat of $100 million yesterday. That's impressive. Now, Kirby Smart's finally doing that. He has more first-round draft picks than Mark Richt, but until Kirby can truly have that year after year of getting those guys paid, then that's the only way that he eventually will pass Nick Saban. But he's got a long, long ways to go. 855-242-PAUL is the number. Let's go down to Jacksonville, Florida. Wes, thanks for joining Peter Burns in here for PAUL. What's up, man?
I'm doing great, Peter. Great to be a Georgia Bulldog these days. Great segue into it. Obviously, Georgia grad and fan. So proud of the team. But I will say this. I have tremendous respect for Alabama and Coach Saban. Just tremendous respect. He still is the master, and that's all there is to it. However, that being said, the most dominant team in college football the last 6 years is without a doubt Georgia. All the numbers say that. In the last 34 games, Georgia's 33-1. We're one game away from a 34-game winning streak. In the last 6 years, Georgia has the best record in college football against top 10 and top 5 teams. These are facts. It's been going on a while. Georgia was one play away from winning another national title in January of 2018, where Georgia led the entire game, never trailed until it was beaten by Alabama greatly in overtime like that. Very close to winning a third. What I keep hearing and bothering me a little bit is the lack of respect. You respect it. But, you know, listening to the draft last night, the only reason Georgia beat Ohio State is because a guy got hurt. The only reason Georgia beat Alabama in the national championship game is their receivers got hurt. And that's a bunch of BS, because that's depth. And Georgia has depth. Georgia had receivers hurt. Donis Mitchell hardly played last year and was a key player. You got to have depth. Getting hurt's a part of football. You don't think Georgia suffered tough losses? I just told you the one in January of 2018 where we led the entire game, never trailed, until we beaten in overtime on the back. So I understand the angst Ohio State has. They played great. They gave it everything they have. They're a great program. But Georgia beat them. And Georgia beat them by doing this with Stetson Bennett, who has also been disrespected. With 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, Ohio State had led most of the game. We're up 41-35. Georgia got the ball first down at the 25 after the Ohio State field goal. 2 minutes and 30 seconds, down six. He led them straight down the field, completed every pass, hit Mitchell in the corner on a perfect pass for the touchdown. That is incredible. I don't care what happens. What he did there was incredible. When Georgia was down in the national championship game, 18-13, in the fourth quarter against Alabama, Stetson Bennett threw the pass to Mitchell to put us ahead. He is a great college football player. Calling somebody, I'm listening to the show, such disrespect. He has the highest rating ever in a college football playoff game, along with Bowers. Stetson Bennett played in four CFP games for Georgia. He was 4-0. And he was the MVP in every damn one of them.
Wes, I'm going to jump in here, and thank you for the phone call. I get it, and I've been a big proponent. I was the one who called that Georgia was going to win it back last year. I called it the year prior as well, too. Nobody's been on that Georgia bandwagon. That's tough as an LSU fan, but I've been there, right? I've been at the forefront of that. Now, with that said, the next step to becoming the dynasty is not giving a damn what anybody thinks, right? Like, that's always, to me, like, when you think Tiger Woods, at the pinnacle of his game, did he even care what Phil Mickelson thought? Did he care what anybody else thought when they were teeing up? No, because Tiger knew he was the greatest. And that's the one thing I want to see from Georgia fans, that, like, now you're there. You're at the pinnacle. Who cares? That was always the thing that killed me as an LSU fan when Bama was on its run. was the fact that as much as LSU cared about Alabama, Alabama didn't think about you at all, right? And that's where the Georgia fan base needs to be. They're at the pinnacle right now. Stop talking about disrespect, okay? Stetson Bennett doesn't play there any longer. Stop talking about Ohio State fans. Who cares? They don't win in titles like you guys have back-to-back. That's when you've truly made it as the elite of the elite, is when you look behind and you don't even respond to any of them. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Let's get one quick phone call in here. Ann in Lexington. What's up, Ann?
Good afternoon, Peter. It's nice to talk to you. I really enjoy listening to you on the SEC Network. I agreed with everything you said earlier in the show about Will and the hype that he had. A friend and I were talking about it, and she was very surprised that he was getting that much hype and thinking about going that soon in the draft. I just want to ask you a question. Where do you think he's going to go? Do you have any idea who needs a quarterback?
I mean, right.
Caliber.
You know, it's funny is that we had the tweet earlier, Jim Irsay, who already drafted an SEC quarterback in Anthony Richardson. He tweeted out and said, hey, why don't I just draft him, Will Levis, as well and have a little competition, which would be fascinating. I have heard from people that the Tennessee Titans are trying to move up, which would be interesting because the Titans need a quarterback. So they may look at this and go, hey, you know, someone's going to get Will Levis. And while we didn't like him early in the mid-teens, well, do we like him at the start of the second round? I would not be surprised if he's a Tennessee Titan by the end of the day.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I heard something on a talk show earlier today where they were pointing out that Will obviously is disappointed, but he needs to look at Lamar Jackson. Lamar was taken last in his draft round and as the last pick in the first round. And he is now the highest paid player in the NFL. So, you know, take a page from Lamar's book, Will. And I just want to say one more thing. Go Cats against Vanderbilt this weekend.
There you go. Nick Mangione versus the Vandy Boys is going to be a great baseball series. I'm looking forward to seeing that. The Wildcats are playing really good baseball this year.
They are.
Thank you, Ann, for the phone call. I appreciate the comments as well earlier. And again, you know who fell in the NFL draft? Ben Roethlisberger, all the way to a good team in the Pittsburgh Steelers. It worked out well for him. Same thing for Aaron Rodgers. Worked out well for him. More of your phone calls coming up next. Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How about Holly Rowe had this tweet? Kind of seemed inevitable, right? Over on the left, Kim Mulkey. We've seen that face before. Over on the right, look at the pigtails. Haley Van Lith. Of course, that was one of the most ballyhooed players in the transfer portal, scoring nearly 20 points a game for the Cardinals. And sure enough, she is headed down to Baton Rouge. She's going to be joining Flajay Johnson and Bayou Barbie. Angel Reese, see if Mulkey can go back to back. Take a quick phone call here. Rick in Houston, thanks for joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What do you say, Rick?
How about them Tigers, Peter? Go Tigers. Coach Mulkey's building a dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the success she had as a player and now the success she had in the transfer portal. And, again, it's a three-headed monster that they have, and I don't think they're slowing down after this. The recruiting class also is one of the top in the country also.
Oh, man, Michaela Williams is something else. But, hey, they've got Anisha Moore from DePaul in the building today.
Rick, it's impressive, man. What else you got for me? We're almost about to hit the break.
Well, I wanted to get your opinion on a couple of LSU players in the draft. I think that B.J. Ojulari could be one of the big steals in the second round. And, man, I've never seen a player fall as fast from one season to the next as Kayshon Boutte did. How far do you think he'll fall?
Yeah, Rick, thank you for the phone call. BJ, I think, ends up being the first SEC player off the board if Will Levis doesn't go and somebody trades up to get him. I think him and Harold Perkins were a great kind of 1-2 punch over on those edges. As far as Kayshon Boutte, that just goes to show you, man, as far as you had that production in year one and how hard it is to maintain. Just wasn't a great route runner, wasn't necessarily the best teammate. And sure enough, now he finds himself free-falling in that draft. We'll see if he even gets called today. More coming up here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.